The pain that the major had spoken about had started, and all that was happening was without interest or relation. After a while, the English ambulance came up, and they put me onto a stretcher and lifted the stretcher up to the ambulance level and shoved it in. There was another stretcher by the side with a man on it, whose nose I could see, waxy-looking, out of the bandages. He breathed very heavily. There were stretchers lifted and slid into the slings above. The tall English driver came round and looked in. "I'll take it very easily," he said. "I hope you'll be comfy." I felt the engine start, felt him climb up into the front seat, felt the brake come off and the clutch go in, and then we started. I lay still and let the pain ride. As the ambulance climbed along the road, it was slow in the traffic. Sometimes it stopped, sometimes it backed on a turn, then finally it climbed quite fast. I felt something dripping. At first it dropped slowly and regularly, then pattered into a stream. I shouted to the driver. He stopped the car and looked in through the hole behind his seat. "What is it?" "The man on the stretcher over me has a hemorrhage. We're not far from the top. I wouldn't be able to get the stretcher out alone." He started the car. The stream kept on. In the dark, I could not see where it came from the canvas overhead. I tried to move sideways so that it did not fall on me. Where it had run down under my shirt, it was warm and sticky. I was cold and my leg hurt so that it made me sick. After a while, the stream from the stretcher above lessened and started to drip again, and I heard and felt the canvas above move as the man on the stretcher settled more comfortably. "How is he?" the Englishman called back. "We're almost up." "He's dead, I think," I said. The drops fell very slowly, as they fall from an icicle after the sun has gone. It was cold in the car in the night as the road climbed. At the post on the top, they took the stretcher out and put another in, and we went on.